declaration of our gratitude for what God has done in our lives, but let that love shine out into our lives and in our actions, and just show others and in our daily lives the love that God has shown us. So that's really beautiful. We this morning that you would come into our hearts, Lord, and just give us an attitude of gratitude, Lord. Just let us be so thankful for what you've already done in our lives, Lord, what you're continuing to do, the sacrifices you've made for us, Lord, your Holy Spirit that's always with us, your love that's a constant in our lives, Lord, that no matter what we're going through these days, Lord, that we always have something to be grateful for, Lord. And we just pray these things in your name. Amen.
Not yet? Oh, here we are. Okay. Hey, well, welcome to Soundhouse. My name is Ryan Grable. I'm the lead pastor here. If you haven't been to the church in a while and you maybe forgot, that's me. Or if you're new, which I see a few people that are new, thank you guys for being with us in the park. As I've said almost every week, we appreciate you guys just being able to work with us as we're trying to work with the city on how we can have a church gathering. And so we hope you enjoy the service today. We hope you can just get some connection the best way that you can, even if it's not hugging somebody, which I like, but just even be able to connect and see each other. And man, I know some of you who I haven't seen, I just saw come in, haven't seen you in literally 6 months. So I'm so, so happy to see you here. Before we get started with the service, we're going to take an opportunity to honor the work of one of our staff members, also kind of inform you guys, and he's going to have an opportunity to inform you guys on the journey and the process he's been going on, and really since he started at Soundhouse, but also to celebrate the work that he's done here and kind of let you guys know the direction that we're going to go with this staff position. And so we've kind of been in this discussion for a long time with him, and we've asked him to stay longer than I think probably that he probably wanted to, because just to help us out. But man, I want to bring up in a second Dominic. And Dominic has been to us a big breath of fresh air for us in our youth ministry. When we were looking for a youth pastor, we had a few candidates that we wanted, and Dominic started to kind of rise to the ranks in our interviewing process because he's been in youth ministry and a few different churches, ran them successfully. His demeanor is very like calm and collective, a lot of wisdom. And so when I started, at first Dominic knows I wasn't so sure about him because he's such an old man. And so, but then as I started like sitting down and talking with him, I started realizing this is the kind of guy I'd love to give my kids advice. And so when we started the process of bringing him on, one of the things that was real clear to us and Dominic made clear was that in his heart, for years and years, he wants to plant a church one day. He would love to be a church planter. Now, Soundhouse is a church plant. We planted, it will be almost 7 years in February. And Chad and I have, just since the beginning, and our eldership as well, has had a heart for church planting. And a lot of you guys know our fifth Sundays, that's just something that we're very married to as a church. It's part of one of our four foundational core values, and that's to be kingdom-minded. And so when Dominic said, I want to plant a church, but I also would love to help in youth ministry, but can you help me in the process of learning how to plant a church? It was like a no-brainer for us. And so in the entire time that he's been here, which is 2.5 years, it's like youth ministry, and then we would go out for coffee kind of on your own time, and we would talk about church planting and always working on the preparation for church planting. And so when it came time for this season that we're going in, we knew that it was time for Dominic to kind of devote a lot of time into that, and he has let us know, I want to put a lot of time into church planting. So I want to take an opportunity to have Dominic come up, just share your heart. We want to celebrate you, Dominic, and we also want to pray for you guys, both of you guys, as you get ready to start the new season of church planting. And you're going to need the prayer, Dominic. We know this.
Thank Well, good morning. Well, my voice sounds a lot deeper on that. I like this. I want to start a radio station. This definitely wasn't an easy decision. There was a part of me that could have seen myself doing youth ministry for 30 more years. I just love it so much. I mean, it would have been really cool to have Chloe and Jack and Austin's kids in my youth group and get even older and older. But God has put it on my and my wife Megan's heart for a while to one day plant a church. And though we're not ready to do that tomorrow or next week, we still have a lot to learn. But this is a major step in just being obedient to that and taking some time, not serving on staff, but just continuing to honor that call. And so it's an exciting time. It's a sad time, but it's a celebration. And so that's what we want to focus on. And then the other reason why this was an easy decision was just knowing what great hands that our youth are in. We have the most phenomenal leaders here who just serve so, so much. I have to ask them to stop serving sometimes because of just how amazing their hearts are. And we are introducing a new program. We're moving towards a mentorship. And it's something we've been, as a staff and the elders, have come around and just so excited to see moving closer for our students' relationships to grow. And so we'll be able to share more with that on that in weeks to come. But just a one-on-one big brother, big sister mentorship while the elders and staff are looking for who their new youth pastor is in trouble, which is a great thing. So I'm excited to see what happens there. But lastly, I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to Soundhouse Church. I have never been a part of a family like this before. And when I say family, I don't just mean a church family. I mean a family. I have felt so loved and encouraged by each and every one of you who call Soundhouse a home, from just the support in my teaching, the support in our future, just the support of the youth ministry and people constantly asking what's going on next door in the youth group and just the support and love. So thank you for that. I also want to thank the parents. I've gotten some just amazing support from you guys. It's been the biggest honor being welcomed into your family. And I know that that wasn't done lightly. And just thank you for the trust that you put in me and the leaders in getting to pour into your kids. And then lastly, I want to thank the students, especially those who are here. I'll be making phone calls to the ones later who are not, but just thank you guys. You know, I have learned so much from you all, and I got some amazing friends out of it. So thank you to the students, the parents, Soundhouse Church. Thank you, all of you. Megan and I, before, you know, we are ready to plant, this is still our home church, so you will still be seeing us here. You're not getting rid of us that easily. So in the next few weeks, yeah, please come say hi, and would love to just hear how everything's going with you all. So thank you, guys. I love you all.
I asked if Dominic, if we could, as a church, just pray over him and Megan, and you can just do that by just extending your hand just in support and prayer for him and Megan. You can stay here, or you guys can stand. That'd be better. We know, and I think you know as well, that why supporting church plants for us was important, because it's a difficult journey. And has Dominic told you that, how tough it is? Okay. And so we as a church have always felt so supported by our church to get behind other churches and see God plant a church. I truly believe this, and we believe this for Belmont. We believe that God has called us to this area and for the influence he's given us now to reach a neighborhood. And I know not everybody lives in the Belmont Shore area, but to be a place that could really be a hope and a light and transformation to a neighborhood. I'm a big believer in, if you want to impact a neighborhood positively, put a church there. And so I know you have your eyes in Long Beach, and I know that God's placed that in your heart. And we just want to pray over that, those next steps and those next journeys over however long it is, because I know it's a slow process. But we as a church, we're going to be here for you guys. And you, as you know, you're a part of our family now. You can't leave us. Even if we're your crazy cousins, we have to be that. And so we'll be there for you guys. And so could you guys extend your hands towards them just in prayer and support? God, we just ask that you continually be with Dominic and Megan as they are starting this next phase of their church planting journey. God, I thank you so much for the work Dominic's put here and the roots that he's placed here in our church. And God, what a rare opportunity that we have someone who was a part of our staff feeling called to go and plant another church. That is a gift to us, God, and a closeness there that we look forward to celebrating as a church. And so, God, I ask that you just prepare the way, like you did for us here at Soundhouse, for the neighborhood, for the people, the favor within the community, God, and just the patience, the tenacity, the energy, the finances that they're going to need to be able to do it. And God, I just ask that you bring them the amazing leaders like you brought us to come around them and support them, a new work in the city of Long Beach. And so, God, we love you. We thank you. Bless them in their marriage. God, bless them in their friendship and God, in their vision together as they work so hard to accomplish this. So we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Like Dominic said, he's going to be here a couple times, maybe a month or once a month, and just kind of making sure that they're still connected here, but they're going to be trying to go out and explore what other churches look like too as well, which is really smart. We did that before we launched, and it was very beneficial. Okay, we have been in this series for about, this will be our fourth week from being able to meet and gather. And man, I just want to take a second and just maybe kind of introduce, I'll come back here a little bit if it echoes too much. I want to take a second and just kind of maybe introduce this series to you all. And if you are new here and first time, we knew that once we could start gathering as a church, it was important to start talking about why we gather. You don't know what you got until it's gone, right? You know what I'm talking about? I just didn't realize what even going to church and what I was taking for granted of just coming up, coming in, showing up. It was just guaranteed that it was going to happen. And then when it ended where I couldn't meet anymore, it really impacted me deeply. And I know many of you who I've talked to, it has too. And so we want to talk about what happens when we gather. Why do we gather? And we want to look biblically at stories when the people of God gathered, what happened, what took place, and ultimately what should take place when people gather. We took a look at Acts chapter 2, and we talked about what happens when we are together. Is there's a call to follow Christ, a call, a mandate, and then what's the response that we see happen biblically? And with this work of the Spirit, we expect every time that we meet as a church, there's a work of the Spirit happening, that the Spirit's active and moving in our church. So when we read the scriptures, these divine truths, that the Spirit's doing something in all of our hearts. I could teach the same message, and I've had it so many times where someone will come up and say, I got this out of it, and someone will say, I got this out of it. And then sometimes it's, I got this out of it. I'm like, no, that's not what I was talking about, right? So we don't know where it goes, but we know that the Spirit is doing something in everybody's heart when we are hearing Scripture. And so for me today, I just thought, okay, let's talk about one of the most important gatherings we see in the Old Testament, and that's this gathering in Exodus chapter 24. You probably know it because of where you're going to start to see where God communicates with Moses about these Ten Commandments. And that's going to start in verse 9 and finish through the chapter. But before they get there, something important happens. And this is where God makes his covenant with his people. And so when we gather and we see Moses addressing the people, we see him establishing covenant to his people. And a covenant's a really simple definition. it's it feels like a working contract in a way, but really it's a working relationship biblically. So when you enter into covenant with someone else, another tribe, someone else bordering your country or your tribe, you entered into a covenant, and in those times it was definitely a blood covenant. And so what happened is that two groups, two people or whatever, would enter into an agreement and say, it's bound by the very life of blood itself. And so we do not break this. And so there was an assumption that I will act as if I'm under the covenant, and you will act as if you're under the covenant, and we don't break the covenant. And so it's a nature and an order of a relationship. So when you hear that, and actually when you hear the word New Testament, it really is New Covenant. And you hear the word Old Testament, it's Old Covenant. And so there is a big emphasis on covenant. And us as a church, all throughout the New Testament, we're called to honor or recognize the New Covenant, right? But I'll just say this, that there's previously before this covenant God makes with Moses in Acts chapter 20 or Exodus chapter 24, there's two other ones, and you could really say three with the garden with Adam and Eve, but really with Noah, it's a non-conditional covenant. God says, I'm going to treat the world this way. I will no longer flood or destroy this world. And so he makes a one-way, not unconditional covenant. And then with Abraham, we see another covenant where he says, I'm going to bless you and your generations, and from you are going to be great things coming for this world, this earth. It's an unconditional, one-way covenant. But then in Acts chapter 24, or Exodus, wow, I'm going to get those confused all day. Exodus chapter 24, we see that God actually makes a different unconditional. It is conditional. And so he introduces a new way of being in covenant with God. And then ultimately we see the new covenant with Christ, which is kind of weird. People debate about this, but it's conditional, but it's also unconditional. So you can see that God's grace is unconditional. His commitment to the covenant, unconditional. Our inability even to fulfill the covenant, he will do the work through Christ. It's unconditional, but there's a condition that we're invited into that covenant. But I think the thing about it is, like, why I felt like it's important to talk about covenant is because we tend to forget what the impact and the power of the covenant that God made with us is. It's easy to forget what God has done through Christ. It's easy to forget. How many of you guys forget something almost every day? How many of you have left your keys in your car and locked the door, right? Right? And then you have like a mini breakdown. How many of you have left your wallet at a restaurant, right? Reminds us to go in to remember covenant is that we often forget, and we're very easily distracted. We're very easily comfortable. And it's important that every time we gather understanding the importance of covenant, right? We forget it so quickly. But I wrote this down. When we gather, we affirm and celebrate God's covenant with us. So when we're together, like right now, we're called to celebrate what he's done. We're called to remember what he's done through his covenant with us in Christ. It's a little bit like this. It's a little bit like a marriage anniversary. I won't ask who's ever forgotten their anniversary or who's gotten a last-minute gift at your marriage anniversary. But the anniversary is that time when you remember back and you look back and say, wow, X amount of years ago, we stood at that altar and we made this decision and we entered into a covenant with each other. And you reflect back on that moment you made that decision. And so I know for Anna and I, every year around our anniversary, we have this box of notes that we've kept since we were in high school. We met in actually junior high. And we wrote each other notes before you could text, and we would bring these out, and we will read these to each other. And it just brings us back to even the moments of when it was very, very fresh, and we kind of never allowed to forget what happened in the development of our relationship. And then when we look at even our wedding photos, we remember back to what that experience was. We tend to forget so quickly sometimes, or take it for granted, the covenant that was made, the moment that you entered into that with God and you felt something different happen with the God of the universe. Something changed. You entered into something new. Or it's like, it's similar in the way that when you have a job milestone, when you look at, wow, I've hit 5 years at this job, I've hit 10 years, or I'm at my 20 year at my job. It's celebrated, and then you tend to reflect back at the journey along the way. And I think this is the same way. I mean, we've saw this truck with Celebrate Recovery. When you get the chip at Celebrate Recovery, it's reflecting back at, wow, 30 days ago I was there, and I don't want to forget. And I think that's a very big reason why the chips come out, is because when someone reads them as a milestone, you go, wow, I've made it this far, but I don't want to forget that I'm 30 days, 60 days, 90 days sober. And so we have to remember that. I want to always remind our church is to never forget the most important thing of why we gather, which is Christ made a way where there was no way. God made a contract or a covenant with us that's unbreakable. And we get to celebrate that every time we gather. We do that in all these little different ways. But I think sometimes we can kind of get caught up around like, oh, they're not serving cookies, or there's the coffee's ran out, or we kind of can kind of get caught up in the fringe things. But really, like, the joy that has to happen, and we can look in each other's eyes and say, wow, you're someone of that covenant. God did something extraordinary, so I can live extraordinarily in this life and in the next. I was, before Corona, I was given this amazing tour. Chad and I were given an incredible tour by our very friend, Rick Piercy, right here. I'm really glad you're here, Rick. I talked about you last week, but it wasn't as positive as it's going to be today. And so he was giving tours at the time through Angel Stadium, and he was one of the kind of the tour guides. And I don't think I'd ever been in a baseball stadium because I don't like baseball. And so we were going through the stadium, and I was really pretending that I really understood that what you were saying. But when I watched Rick take us through the stadium, first of all, you're the best. Like, nobody's better than you. I was highly entertained, and I even got to laugh at you, too. It was great for me. And when we went through, the legacy, Rick trying to reclaim for people the history, not letting people forget the transition that the team itself had had with the owners, with the stadium itself, and with their legacy, touting their players, going through their accomplishments, showing us in all the back rooms of everything that goes on. We got to see the players' locker room. When I look at that, I think when we come to church and we think about God's journey with us and his covenant, that's why we gather. That's what we remember. That's what we celebrate in those moments. We do this every single Sunday. Let me read to you Psalms 106:45. And this is such an important passage that sometimes we don't really attribute to Psalms, but it's this. It says, he remembered his covenant for their sake, referencing the covenant we're going to read in a minute. He remembered the covenant for their sake. He'll hold up his end of the bargain, even when we may forget or we may take it for granted, or it may just kind of leave our mind that we're in this contract covenant with God. He'll remember it for our sake. And it goes on to say, and relented according to the greatness of his loving kindness. God will never, ever, ever, ever forget, and never forget reminding you of the contract covenant or the relationship that you're in with him. We may stray. We may get off course. We may forget. But for our sake, God says, I will never let you forget. And we also have to continually remind ourselves what happened, what took place on the cross, and what this covenant offered to us really is. So I titled this message, Connection or Covenant Through Connection. We remind ourselves of the new covenant of grace, and we have to continually do that. We can get way off course when we get off course of what the covenant was. When God's holding up his end of the deal, he's holding up the deal that you're inadequate to provide redemption for your sins. We are inadequate to be our own saviors. We are inadequate when it comes to our own salvation or limitless grace or limitless love. We are inadequate to give ourselves the strength spiritually to overcome what God's called us to. He reminds us, and we also have to do that ourselves and with each other, that God has established something that we can't do. So when we want to get into a works-based relationship with God, which means I do these things, therefore I am holy, we're actually trying to take the part of God's covenant with us and fulfill it when we can't. So he did something we couldn't do. Now, before I read this passage in Exodus 24, you have to remember, for the context of this passage to really hit home, you have to understand where the Israelites were at that time, where the nation of Israel was. They were in captivity. They had almost been in captivity and in slavery so long that many people most likely even forgot where they came from, who they were, or maybe even who Abraham was before they found themselves in the hands of Egypt. But let me read to you the condition of the people before God made his covenant with them. Exodus 39, and it should be within the app if you have it, or you can just turn there in your Bible. Exodus 3:9. And now behold, God's telling this to Moses when he meets him by the burning bush. The cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression from which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, and you will bring my people out of Egypt. But Moses said, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children out of Egypt? Now, Moses has a good point, because this is one man versus the great empire of the world. This is one man who's very familiar with this empire. And so it's one man going to take on the greatest empire at the time. And Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Verse 12. And he said, God said, but I will be with you, and this will be a sign for you that I have sent you. And when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Meaning this, you're going to go to these people who've been enslaved for generations, who maybe have lost their spiritual heritage through Abraham or forgotten it. And they're at a place, these people, where they're crying so much that, God, we need you. We've heard of you. Can you help us? And God, in all of his ability to do what we can't do, sends one person. So they're crying to God, and God speaks to Moses, and Moses goes as a representative, and God delivers the people. This is ultimately where it's at, and I think this is something we need to understand about these people. This is all they know is they've been born into slavery, ruled by one power, made to labor and work. They had no hope. They were devalued as a people. They were purposeless, and they were in need of salvation, and most importantly, they needed the impossible to happen. Now, when you think about your salvation, when you think about your freedom, does this sound familiar to you? Remember those moments before you found your life in Christ, where there was no hope? You felt purposeless. You felt like, what's going on around me? I'm out of control, or I've come to the end of myself, or I'm in desperate need. This is the place of where God says, this is where I found my people, and he makes a way. He bridges a gap. He does something miraculous. And so for any of you in here who maybe have forgotten the miracle that it took and the sustaining power of the Spirit to sustain your salvation is literally exactly the same power that it took to deliver these people from the nation of Israel and brought them across the sea and brought them into freedom. We have to not forget that as a people, that no matter what hardships we may feel like we're going through, that the same God, the God who delivered them out of Egypt, the same God who delivered you from your past, who delivered you from your hardship that you had experienced, and who is continually with you now like he was with them. So God sends Moses, he delivers them, brings them as a free people now. So they come from never knowing freedom to freedom. It's very much like us. We've never known what it meant to be free from the bondage of sin. But God brought us as a free people in our own exodus out of that. And God brings them, and he's awaiting them on the mountain for a new covenant to establish with them. So let's read it really quick, and then we'll get into where we come into play here. Exodus 24, verse 1. Then he said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 elders of Israel, and worship from afar. Moses alone shall come near to the Lord. But the others shall not come near, and the people shall come down, shall not come up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the rules. Now, chapter 22, God gives Moses a list of ways of obeying God in his kingdom now. In their new freedom, they need to learn the way God is and what God's kingdom is like and what God's people are like. No longer the mentality that was in Egypt, the new mentality, the new way, the new direction. And so Moses reads them all these rules. And all the people answered with one voice and said, with all the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Now, this is where it's important to understand. They were at such a place that they were like, whatever that was that we just came from, this, anything you say, God, we will do. And I want to remind our church to be in those places. Every Sunday, we gather to remember that. So we say the same words, God, whatever you say, God, we will do, right? We want to as your people, because what you brought us from is way, way better than where we were. And Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. He rose early in the morning, and he built an altar at the foot of the mountain and the 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the people of Israel who offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of ox to the Lord. And so this is their representation that, God, you've made peace with us. God, like, we're in now in peace with you. And so when we come to church, and we are also reflecting on God, how he covenants with his people. He's offering them peace and prosperity and life and fullness. And so they, at that time, offered a sacrifice of peace. And Moses took, now here we go. This maybe seem weird, but I can explain this a second. Moses took half of the blood and put it into a basin, essentially God's portion of the sacrifice of the covenant. And half of the blood he threw against the altar. So this is God's part of the covenant. And he said, all that the Lord has spoken, he will do, and we will be obedient. So Moses took the blood and threw it on the people. Now, I think you're glad that this is not how we remember the covenant or enter into the covenant of God. But if you remember, when you read scripture and you hear that Christ's blood was shed for us, or Christ's blood has been given or covers us, you're going to remember back to Exodus 24 and go, oh, I see the correlation, because peace was made, a covenant was made, and God's portion was fulfilled, and Christ fulfilled also our portion with the blood as we entered into the covenant. And it goes on to say, and behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made in accordance with all these words. Now, sadly, we can relate to Israel in our own life, because Israel would often forget the covenant that God made with them. And then Israel would lose their course. I don't know if you've ever been there. Lose their way. And they would probably become more relaxed in their prosperity and blessing God was giving them. And then began to take the covenant for granted. And then began to say, we got this, God. We're good. They would find themselves in a very difficult place again. They would cry out for God's help. And then for their sake, God would say, remember that covenant I made with you? I will honor my end. And I will be with you. And I will be here for you. And I will come to your rescue. Now, we can relate to this so well in our own lives. Because many times we do the same thing. But why we gather on Sunday is to remind ourselves, to refresh ourselves. What you led us through was to remind ourselves of who God is and who we are to Him. And if you walk out today, and if you just take a moment, and you just remind yourself of why you're even here, that you're here because God made a sacrifice. He honored His covenant. And He continues to honor it. And Christ's blood covers you, and sin has no more effect on you. You've left the regime of sin's hold. Now, one quick point, and I'll read a few passages and we'll close. We gather to remember God's covenant with us. And I want you to, if you could, every time you come together, or even remind other believers that, man, remember where we were? Man, it's so important that we do that. Remember where we were? Boy, we can get so comfortable. But when we gather together and you hear someone's story, or you see them kind of drifting off, call them to account and say, remember where you were? And remember that moment when God called you and covered you and came into covenant with you? Remember where we were. God gave a new covenant and His sacrifice, His blood for covering of sin. Now, if you've ever refinanced a house, you can remember when they pulled out that contract and you had to relearn again what 78 pages means as that person is going through it with you so fast and just saying initial, initial, initial. But you were redoing a contract. You were re-entering into something new. And we have to know and remember that, oh, yes, that's right, God. Every time we come back to church, we got to remember again that, God, I'm only here because of something you did significantly. I'm not here on my own merit. I am participating because you call me as a people to be as your people in the way that you called us. But at the end of the day, we're here because of what you did. Now listen to this, Matthew 26:28. Jesus says, for this is my blood, as he's introducing to his disciples the week of his crucifixion. He's letting them know, let me remind you about this sacrifice, like Exodus 24, that's going to happen. He says, this is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive sins for many. Now, you may forget that Jesus sacrificed his blood for your sin. You may forget that, but he doesn't. And I think sometimes that we can get maybe even caught up in sin, distracted by sin, pulled in a direction and find ourselves in a hard place. But Jesus says his blood is for the covering of your sins. And that should give us a great deep appreciation for what that means, and not pull us away from God in shame, but pull us closer to him. Now listen to 1 Peter 1. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago. His Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. May God, this is his little benediction to them, may God give you more and more grace and peace. And why he mentions the covenant is to root our security in that contract, in that covenant. May you have more peace in that. May you have more grace in that. We're going to get into a series in a couple weeks about talking about what the people of God do as a people of grace. And we want to talk about how hard it is now in this culture, in this world, with how easy people react and attack others, and how you see such a lack of grace sometimes in our culture. It can be vicious and destructive. And I even see God's people doing that. And so we want to remind ourselves even in that series about what the people of God are called to do and how we are called to participate in the battles that we're experiencing spiritually and how his people operate. And so when we read this, why Peter reminds them, remember, you're part of something that is grace-filled and full of peace that you couldn't do, and it was given as a gift. Don't abuse it. May God give you more and more grace and peace. And this last passage, Romans 8:39. Indeed, Paul says, talking about the covenant, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ our Lord. With that knowledge, with that confidence, we as a church should rest secure that no matter what is happening or what is going around, what's happening around us, that we're rest secure. No matter what mistake that you make or may make, or maybe like at Celebrate Recovery, you might have to go back and get another 30-day chip when you were already on 120, right? You got it. No matter what happens, no matter what shortcomings you may have or difficulties in your journey to try to grow, that nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. And with that, we as a people should celebrate and thank God for that type of commitment. I'll tell you what, if you enter into a contract with me and you don't uphold your end of the bargain, I'm canceling my contract. Like, I'll do this over a phone bill, which I did. I left in a company I've been with for 10 years, and I said, that's it. You've hurt me too many times. And I tried to walk away, and then they tried to get me to stay on. I said, no, I'm done. God doesn't do this with us as many times as we may even not uphold our end. God remembers his everlasting covenant, and let's never forget that. So I will say this with this maybe final benediction. As a people, we celebrate today, we are free people who experience an exodus of the deadly grip of sin in our life. As people, and why God would send prophets to remind people of the Old Testament, do you forget crossing the sea? Do you forget coming out of bondage? How could you forget so easily? We got to remind ourselves we're people who left the deadly grip of sin. Today, we celebrate we're people in contact with God, an unbreakable, unshakable contract with God. As people, today we celebrate obedience to the leading of the Spirit, meaning that the Spirit wants to guide us into becoming more and more a reflection of God's image on earth, and so we're obedient to godly living. Today, we celebrate as a people under God's new covenant, God's covenant of shalom, or his universal peace, his endless grace and great love, like Psalm says. And as people today, we celebrate being covered by the sacrificial blood of Christ. Like Moses, when he had all of the people of Israel lined up, and he said, you are now going to be covered or sprinkled in this blood to show that you too are in this with him and he'll be in it with you. We are people under Christ's sacrifice, covered by his sacrificial blood. And as people, we celebrate today a new identity and citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. That's who we are as a church. That's why we gather. And we gather because of a covenant that was made for us. And I just plead with us as a church and remind myself again today that we gather to celebrate the impossible was done on our behalf and a sacrifice was made and a condition was met on God's end. And let's do our very best as a church to uphold what God's asked us to do in this new covenant. But if you ever are questioning whether you are someone who God will just cast to the side if you make a mistake, you don't understand the new covenant of the work of the cross, and you need to. If you ever are in a moment where you feel so discouraged, like God's abandoned you, remember, for millennials, God has been reminding his people, oh yeah, no, I've upheld my contract. Don't worry, and I'll remind you that I have too, and I'll remind you that I've got my end upheld. With Christ, he's not only upholding it, the sacrifice was made, your sins are paid for and covered, but he will give you the Spirit to walk through this life to uphold the direction of God's people And don't worry if you feel like a failure, if you feel like you don't deserve this new covenant, then we don't understand grace, because it's infinite and it's there abundantly for us. And we just have to remind ourselves and thank God for that. And so I want to pray, and then we'll be dismissed. And you guys feel free to hang out, chat with each other, and catch up. So God, we love you. And God, as many times as we can get distracted by so many different things, God, I thank you that again and again throughout your word, we're called to gather, to celebrate your grace, your mercy, the sacrifice of Christ, and to honor him who ushered in a new covenant for his people. And God, I ask you that it merely is, or thank you that it merely is just a recognition that we need a covenant with you. And that it was a moment where we all said, enough of us, we need you, God. And I thank you, God, that every one of our lives, we can look back and we can remember the moment where we didn't have you. We weren't in covenant with you. And remember the other side of that. And it was a life that we were willing to leave in a way to enter into something new. God, let us never forget that. And let us continually steward this covenant that we have with you by the way we live, by the way we walk, by the way we talk, and by the way we treat others, and by the way we honor and worship you as stewards of this covenant relationship. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, thank you so much for joining us today. We hope you have a great day. If you're new here, I would love to meet you. Chad would love to meet you. If you're old here, I would love to see you and say hi too. So don't leave quite right away, okay? Guys, take care. Have a good day.